President Bush has declared his intentions to put an end to the struggle between Palestinians and Israelis during his term in office. But the road continues to be marred by violence. Jude Landau investigates the impact of suicide bombings on the mindset of the Israeli public.
The sirens are part of the everyday background noise in most Israeli cities. Here in Tel Aviv, Israel's largest city and the scene of several suicide attacks in recent months, people barely blink at the sound of them. But for Tina Meyer, any complacency was quickly disposed of when she was caught up in the chaos of a suicide bomb at the popular beachfront bar, Mike's Place.
I just told my friends, okay, I'm going in a minute, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, and then I'm leaving when I come back. And it took me a good 5 minutes to get from the bathroom at the back down to the door and out. So I came out maybe 30 seconds before the bomb. I was saying goodbye to my friend Dave, and I put my hand on his shoulder. He's a bit of a joker, Dave, so he's always, you know, luckily he kept me talking for a few more seconds. He was like, oh, what are you going so soon? Why don't you stay, drink some more? You're gonna leave me all on my own. And because of his yabbering, he saved me from actually walking past the door at the vital seconds. So as far as I'm concerned, he saved my life as well.
Three people were killed and 50 wounded when two British-born Muslim men, sympathetic to the Palestinian cause, detonated devices strapped to their bodies. One of the bombs failed to go off and the other bomber fled. Since September 2000, the Israeli government says more than 700 terrorist incidents have taken place in the country. These include assaults on military installations, grenade attacks, and most widely reported, suicide bombings, where the assassin, wearing a belt with explosives, enters a busy area, usually a cafe or a bus, and explodes the device with the aim of creating as much havoc as possible.
There was a flash, an incredibly vivid orange flash that just consumed everything. I didn't see anything other than orange, and it must have been a split second, but it seemed like a long time. And the boom, the disorientation and shock at that moment, I remember thinking the speakers from inside blew or something. It didn't occur to me that it was a bomb. And I felt a burn on my leg. And I could smell the burning as well. And after the flash went, I could see I was facing the door and the carnage. And I saw bodies and parts of bodies, and I saw the suicide bomber, what was left of it, hanging from the rail, from the entrance.
Mike's Place has since reopened and is now busier than ever. There is a small memorial outside which pays tribute to the victims who died in the attack. It seems hard to believe that the scene was once one of the carnage that Tina described. Most Israelis view these suicide attacks as an everyday part of life. But the daily threat of such attacks takes its toll on the Israeli public. David Landau is editor of the English language edition of the left-wing Israeli newspaper Haaretz, and is no relation to this reporter.
People have tried to keep their children indoors as much as possible. And so although, of course, Palestinians are suffering worse than the Israelis as much as their lives are completely dislocated, it'd be wrong to understate the suffering of the Israelis. There's a almost complete collapse of the tourism industry and all the allied industries, and a severe decline in foreign investment. And this has led to a steady rise in unemployment and a general recession in the economy. And there's nobody who doesn't feel it, even if you're not out of work.
Landau's paper graphically reports the aftermath of bombings and pays particular attention to the attack victims.
Official efforts to relieve people in that time of tragedy focus more on death than on injury. And the tradition in Israel is that bereaved families are addressed with a great deal of humaneness and much concern, whereas people who've merely, in quotes, been injured sometimes do feel that they've been abandoned or that they're not sufficiently compensated or that their medical attention isn't sufficiently supported by government or local authorities.
Tina Meyer also believes she was not given enough support in the aftermath of the suicide bomb.
Bituach Lumi, which is the agency that gives financial aid and psychological help and everything, they were on strike for a really long time. So I went to my next appointment and there was no one there. And they didn't call me to cancel, and she hasn't called me to apologise, so I haven't actually had any more psychological help, and I feel very let down by that, actually.
At the recent launch of the US-backed Roadmap to Peace in the Jordanian port city of Aqaba, the key issue of preventing terror attacks was one that the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon pressed his Palestinian counterpart, Prime Minister Abu Mazen, to act on. But the task of reining in Palestinian groups like Hamas, Islamic Jihad and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade will not be easy for Abu Mazen. Abu Mazen may be prime minister, but long-time Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat remains powerful behind the scenes. Dr. Reuven Paz is director of research into Islamic movements at the Herzliya Interdisciplinary Centre. After spending years in Israeli intelligence, his analysis is that groups like Hamas, which carry out the attacks, have a strong hold on the everyday lives of Palestinians.
Hamas will never abandon the dream of Islamic State all over Palestine. They mean to change the Israeli public opinion towards more concessions for the Palestinians. At least the Islamic terrorism of Hamas is meant also to stop any process of negotiations that might lead to the division of Palestine.
The situation changes on a regular basis, and various pushes for peace, like the Oslo process, have failed in the past. David Landau again.
We've been there before. The Oslo process also included dramatic meetings and ringing statements of commitment to peace with all those kind of phraseologies in them. All of us in the Middle East have been deeply disappointed by what emerged. And so there's a good measure of scepticism this time around. What we've got now that we haven't had, at least for a couple of years, is the direct, personal, high-profile involvement of an American president. This is a president who, when he came to power, the first thing he said was, I'm not getting involved in the Middle East, because that's a no-win sort of option.
Despite closing the entrances and exits to Palestinian areas and stopping dozens of would-be bombers, Israel has still been unable to prevent suicide attacks entirely. Therefore, terrorism remains the biggest obstacle for all of those trying to follow the latest roadmap to peace. For Common Ground, this is Jude Landau in Israel.
Since this story was first reported, Israel and Palestine have entered into a new round of peace talks. Israeli forces have withdrawn from certain disputed territories, and Muslim extremist groups have agreed to a short-term ceasefire where they will suspend attacks on Israeli citizens.